Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our program is dedicated to exploring topics at the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We're glad you joined us today. We're in the into the People series, which we love doing every year. This time of year, we get to interview people. And today, we actually have the person who was the first interview on our program 3 years ago. Phil Gray is back with us today. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Thanks. Hello, hello. Phil, it's pretty darn exciting to have you on the show. Like Dave said, you are our first ever victim on the show, right? Our first guest. And we went back and looked, and it was the fifth show that we ever did, Dave.
Was it? Yeah.
And the topic was collective intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And I went back and read the show notes, plugged to everyone in the audience. You should go back. You can, the archive of all of our shows is out on davidstarkcollective.com. Go
yes.
Check it out. The fifth show, Collective Intelligence, features Phil Gray.
That's it. I feel more intelligent these days.
Right?
I mean, I do. After that show was
yeah.
Gone, I jumped. My IQ went up.
I was amazed. And the show notes back then were so thorough. Fast forward to today where
we
get you're lucky if you get like a sentence fragment.
There you go.
But back then it was really great, and we talked about a lot of fun stuff. And honestly, Phil, again, welcome to the show. How the heck are you, buddy?
I'm great. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
I never even listened to that episode because, I don't know, I was just like, I don't know about listening to myself on the radio.
It's weird.
You know, it's like, this is my big break.
Yeah.
On the radio, so.
Well, it's that whole thing, too, when you listen to your own voice, you're like, is that really what I sound like? Because, like, in your head, the sound makes a different noise, and you just think your voice sounds different.
Yeah.
Right?
It's what you sound like.
It's what, I know, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I really kind of like my voice.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. So I'm just a narcissist.
You're in the minority.
That doesn't surprise me, Dave. That doesn't surprise me.
He's a legend in his own mind is what it is. That's,
yeah.
I think that's what's going on.
So, Phil, you should go back and listen to that show. Everyone else, you should listen to it, too. It was great. But this one's going to trump that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be so much more gooder. And, Phil, so I would like to catch people up on you. So last time we talked to you, you had just taken a leap from a quote-unquote real job, and okay. We're jumping into the gig economy, the freelance world. You were going out on your own. This was 3 years ago, so this is eons ago in freelance time.
Right.
Absolutely.
And millennial time, yeah.
Oh, man, millennial time.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about, well, first off, just reintroduce yourself to our awesome audience. Who is Phil Gray? What do you do? And just talk to us a little bit about Phil Inc.
Sure. Yeah, Phil Inc.
Yeah.
I'm a software developer. Over the last 3 years, I've actually created a company. I don't even know if you know the company name.
It's Phil Inc.
No, I think you'll like it. It's called Good Gravy.
Oh, Good Gravy.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Is that an LLC?
Is
it Good Gravy
LLC?
It is an LLC.
Good Gravy LLC.
It's better than Phil Inc.
Yeah. It's a little bit better than that. So I recently formed that. I actually just hired my first employee, too. They start in like a month or so. So I'm sort of a hybrid gig economy guy now. We'll see.
Well, you're the real deal.
Yeah.
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 Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Awesome. So
yeah.
Good Gravy, LLC.
Yep.
You're doubling the size of your company here in a month.
Yep. That's right. 100% growth.
goodgravy.com?
Goodgravy.digital.
.digital.
Yep.
Should have known that.
The .com. Let's just say they wanted $50,000 for .com.
So I've seen that before.
You said maybe in year four.
Yeah, well, then in year four, what's it going to cost, right?
Yeah.
Maybe $50 million.
Yeah.
Because I'll be, you know, $25 million company.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't know. I've been kind of building that company. I had a kid since the last time I was
Congratulations.
On.
Congratulations.
Also
daughter.
Named Good Gravy?
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Good Gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Noelle, her name is. She's 2 years old. Moved to New Brighton, so I'm close to, you know.
You're right around the corner from here.
Yeah, close to here.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, things are going well. Business is growing. Still keeping busy. Still not running back to a real job, we'll say.
A quote-unquote. Yeah. Yeah. People can't see, but I'm doing air quotes when I say real job.
Exactly.
The radio's tough for that. But
yeah. And Phil, you were just really involved in helping us get started, too. So that's part of the nostalgia for me.
Yeah.
Getting us in this game.
I don't think this would be here if it wasn't for me.
Exactly.
I think is what you guys are trying
to say.
Well, and certainly the website wouldn't.
That's right.
That's true.
That's what I mean. So, people, if you forgot what that is, it's davidstarkcollective.com, where you can find all of our podcasts going back to 2015, including the fifth episode called Collective Intelligence.
That's it.
Featuring Phil Gray.
That's it. Right on. So please, please go there. We need the encouragement, and we need those high ratings, which we're really looking for. Fives or above would be great.
We sure do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess that's on iTunes. But why don't we dive in a little bit, Justin, on kind of the interconnectivity stuff that he's right at the center of.
So, Phil, you know that the show is called Working with Purpose, I think. I mean, we didn't know that your company was named Good Gravy, so maybe you didn't know the show is called Working with Purpose. But for us, Working with Purpose is we use this metaphor of the body and interconnection to be a metaphor for business. And I'd kind of like to start a little chronology here with you. And, you know, the last 3 years or so, I'm curious about, like, the adventure that you've had in the last 3 years. Like, we caught you at the very beginning of it, you know, when you were just jumping out onto your own thing. As we start to talk about interconnection here, first off, just tell us a little bit about your journey. Like, how has the last 3 years been? What have some of the been the, you know, the high points and the low points, things like that? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been great, and it's been hard. I mean, I'm still doing the same things most of the time, but I think going out on your own, by nature, you're fully dependent on yourself, right? And so I think I've learned a lot about how, I think you learn a lot in this, let's just say, gig economy about how you best work. And I think that that's one of the best parts about it, but the hardest parts about it too. You're sort of defining your own systems. You're sort of defining your own best practices. You're fully dependent on kind of sussing those things out, right? And so I think people work in very different and unique ways. And what's nice is you're able to kind of lean into that and figure out, well, what works for me. Where it gets a little bit difficult is, you know, figuring out. So just an example, let's say you're tired in the middle of the day. Like, if you work for yourself, you have the ability to say, okay, well, I'm going to take a break, or I'm going to go do something else for a little bit. There's times when you need to push through that, but there's also times when you need to, you know, kind of embrace the fact that you're not working at your full optimal potential or whatever. So, I think I've just learned a lot over time about the ways that I best work and kind of the ways to structure my work. So that's kind of been, I don't know, just a long growth thing over time. Just generally with business, I think, I mean, the interconnectedness is for sure true. The more connections, I mean, I'm thinking about this, just the term generally of networking and like how important that is. I don't really love the term. It feels a little bit gross, but ultimately it's just friends. Having connections with people is what leads to greater purpose, is what leads to more work as well. So I think I found that whenever I've tried to rely on anything else besides the interconnectedness, besides the networking, trying to find work, let's just say, out of my network, it's ultimately felt a little bit like I'm forcing something that's not there, and ultimately ends up coming back to, well, who do you know? What have you experienced? What's your network and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. You know what I've found helpful, Phil, is those twirling sandwich boards that people use on the street corners.
Yes, there you go.
It's been really good for consulting and freelance work for me.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, I learned that trick at Quiznos. And just kind of applied it in a new space.
Yeah.
And what's true, Phil, is that you're looking at two guys that have done this world. So I know exactly what you're talking about. So, you know, and my case, I have to figure out the rhythms that work for me, because there's a writing component and there's a radio component and there's all kinds of stuff, right? And you gotta figure out how you work and how to pace that. You know, it's both a luxury and a burden, right, at the same time, in terms of responsibility, and then you got to fit in to somebody who wants to actually hire what you do on top of it, right? So it's that's a completely maybe underspoken part of the journey of gig folk is that you've got to get the business too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think people can, if you think about a freelancer, a gig person, we shall say, you might think that they might just be really lazy and eat cereal in the morning. I mean, cereal, there's nothing wrong with cereal. Let me take that back. Just hang out all morning and not do anything.
People from General Mills listen to this show.
And I happen to love Grape Nuts Flakes, just one thing.
Yeah, you're eating cereal, but you're also just, you know, hanging out all morning and you're not really getting anything done. What I found is the people who are attracted to this type of work, I think the problem is a spectrum, right? The problem is you actually are leaning way more towards the other side of the spectrum, which is working too much and not being able to self-regulate and things like that. And so,
That's like everything, true.
This is a spectrum, but I think, the people that I've seen, it's definitely like a lot more about how do you regulate work? How do you not work too much? How do you create boundaries between your work life and the rest of your life? Because, they're less defined, right? You don't have an office. You don't always have an office to go into and then shut it off when you come home. You can be working all the time. I mean, I'm doing people who have literally had to like turn off the Wi-Fi at home so they get home and it's a no workspace.
Yeah.
But then how do you Netflix, you know?
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, I get this totally. I don't know about Justin, you face that so much, but I do. And so I have a place, a coffee shop I go to is where I write. Right. I have my businesses where I do all my marketing and sales stuff, you know, and then I'm actually reading or something. That's a completely different space, you know, let alone client spaces where I need to go to the actual client spaces for stuff. And that's something you got to work out. That's a
yeah.
Different way.
I mean, structure is good for people. And I think that people can go into freelance life and just say, oh, let's throw out all the structure. Who needs that? And then I think I've slowly realized over time that I need to reintroduce that structure. And it's not about the lack of structure that makes it, you have freedom. It's just the ability to kind of flex when you need to and do different things when you need to. But yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is one thing too, where again, a quote unquote real job, you learn the hard way about structure, you know, the whole 8 to 5 and you know, this is your desk and you have to be tethered to it and blah, blah, blah. You know, the good side of that is you do learn some rituals and you know, that forced structure, if you apply something like that in your freelance world, it can be helpful. Like you said, setting your own boundaries, because it's pretty easy once you get out. You're like, hey, no one's the boss of me. I'm going to go do this thing. And before you know it, you're working 90 ineffective hours a week. And it's no bueno.
Yeah, exactly true.
So, good pro tip there, Phil. You know, this show flies by, especially when we have Phil Gray on the show.
Look at the man.
Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to take a minute break. We're going to be back. And then, Phil, we're going to talk more about interconnection and the gig economy and all the pro tips that you have for us, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose. We'll see you back in a minute.
The way business gets done has changed. The economy is becoming collaboration-based, and interconnectivity is the operating system, much like the human body. And each week on Working with Purpose, David Stark and Justin Royer talk with the people and review the principles of the new world of work and where our faith intersects. And they'd love to have you join the conversation. You can dialogue with David and Justin on these important discussions, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com, or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you and your business go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and open either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. And now let's get back to part 2 of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer, and today's guest, Phil Gray. Just a quick reminder that you can find all of our podcasts anytime on iTunes. You can also find them on davidstarkcollective.com. Please go to iTunes, though, and give us a 5-star review, people.
Yes.
We love those. It's the currency of our trade. We would love you forever if you would do that.
We have no idea when Sweeps Week is, but
it's coming.
The fives all the time.
It's coming. You can also find us on Twitter at Stark Collective if you do the Twitters. So, again, back with Phil Gray. Phil, again, to catch people up, you are our fifth show, our first interview ever. You have a company called Good Gravy. You are our prototypical and shining example of a gig economy freelance worker.
Yep. I'm here. Ask me anything.
I'm going to.
Great.
Again, working with purpose is all about interconnection and this body metaphor, right? So I want to start throwing you a couple softballs around this, Phil, about interconnection. And so the question is, Phil, what role does interconnection play in business for you? And we can unpack this in a bunch of different ways. For example, like, what role does interconnection play with finding and retaining clients? Let's just start there. How does connection play a role with clients, Phil? How do you find them? How do you keep them?
Yeah.
Do you have any clients?
I don't have any clients.
Yep. So that's why you're on the radio.
Oh,
yeah.
That's it.
Anyone?
Call Phil.
Yeah.
Good gravy.
So that's that question. No, I'm just kidding. I think retaining clients is really important. So I've had a number of my clients, 3 or 4 of them, for basically the whole time I've been freelancing. And the work just kind of keeps coming from them. I think I definitely believe in the power of referral and just people referring other people and referring other people. And like I said before, I feel like if I try and force finding work through other means, which you can do, and I definitely try to do, it still usually ends up coming back to people I know or people who know people. I think one thing I've learned about work is just people. I think this is for all industries really, but especially for software development, people are just looking for someone they can trust to do the work. It's just kind of crazy, like, how much of a differentiator just doing the work you say you'll do when you do it is. Like, mm-hmm. if you can mm-hmm. just do that, you're going to be pretty far ahead of a lot of your quote-unquote competition, and you're going to find that your clients are really going to value and respect that. That's hard to do. I don't always succeed at that myself, so I'm not trying to come at it from this, like, high horse or anything, but... if that can be your main goal, do the work you say you'll do when you do it, I think that's going to create a huge influx of clients, and it's just going to feed your business. So.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think about biologically here is that people may or may not know that the human body has something called the microbiome. It's talked a lot about today because of how you feed, create a healthy one, but that's the invisible organ of the body. It's actually, there's more cells. There's equal number of cells in your body as there is the microbiome, which is made up of bacteria and other kinds of things. And it goes all over the body and it helps all the different parts of the body succeed. So it's the equivalent of the gig economy inside. But one of the things that's obvious from this, but Phil, I'd love for you to talk to, is the microbiome has to be in service to the body. I mean, its whole existence is so that the body can do things better. And this seems really obvious, but for a gig person, the first thing you have to realize is your whole worth is based upon what you bring in service to the organizations you're with, not what you think your cool widget is or process is. It's always dependent upon what it is that they really need.
Yeah. Yeah. Market fit, I guess, in business terms is really important to understand, because yeah. So I guess I'm thinking about, kind of entering into some new markets in particular. I'm really interested in nonprofits and doing work for nonprofits. But I don't understand that world whatsoever. And so I've been doing a lot of research on the upfront and I've been talking to a lot of people, just taking them out for coffee because, I think you can come into something thinking you know what people want, but you really need to ask people what they want, and you need to build things and help them decide what they want before deciding for them. So I think what's really at the confluence, what's really the best way to kind of figure it out is, what do I want to do? What do people need? And kind of where's the Venn diagram meet of those two things? People might not necessarily want what you want to do, right? Like, nobody's looking for me to make, you know, little paintings of tacos, right? But
right.
I might love to do that, but you have to kind of find what people want and what kind of you want to do. So I think that's kind of the beauty of this stuff, is you can kind of figure out what is your market fit. The flip side of that too is knowing what's not, what you don't want to do. I think a lot of us gig economy people initially, and myself for sure, is anything that comes in the door I'll take. But
yes.
Now I'm starting to pick things that I want to be doing. And so it's kind of a two-way street, right? You got to find your fit. And I think ultimately that serves the body well. It serves you well. But yeah, I think we're ultimately still dependent on, I think for the foreseeable future, on large systems to kind of, like you're saying, to kind of have that work and to kind of prove that work out. I think we're a long ways away from a fully independent marketplace of, you know, individual gig workers or something. I think that's someday maybe, but yeah, we're
not,
still
not right now.
Yeah.
Got it. And I, you know, cause I, what I think about in all of that is that, especially in software, you've obviously got to keep up with where software is going. Cause you're in a place where you're developing new kinds of software, and software's, you know, just exponentially changing. And how have you seen it change the 3 years in general in the software world as you work for companies?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to keep up. And I think you kind of have to determine what are the things that are worth keeping up with and what are the things that are passing trends and fads, just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, so in software, I'm not sure how familiar you guys are, but there's a new framework or there's a new language every week, right? There's a flavor of the week. In my seasoned experience now, right? So I've been doing this software development thing for, you know, a long time, like 8 years. So I'm just kidding. It hasn't been that long, but I'm realizing now that it's more about understanding the principles that these things are built on than saying I'm a, you know, right now it's React, right? So like I'm a React developer, I'm a blah, blah, blah developer. It's more about understanding the principles. I think that has wider implications overall, is like, don't chase the flavor of the week. Learn that stuff. It's important. Some people are going to care about that, but ultimately it's about understanding the kind of the principles of what you do. Those things are going to have a lot slower change over time. It's going to be a lot more sustainable. You're going to feel a lot less like doubt about your own capabilities and stuff.
So don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yeah.
But also don't go chasing the latest, you know, Java frameworks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some good advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's interesting here, Phil. I also wanted to ask you a interesting question, hopefully around, is this what you thought you would be doing when you hopped out of college and, you know, went into the workforce?
So I always knew I wanted to work for myself. So I took a job for a few years to kind of get my feet wet and sort of understand industry a little bit better before I went on my own. I don't think I knew that I would be doing software development that's quite as complex as that I've been doing. So I've been getting more into applications and building things like that. So I went to school for computer science, and when a lot of people left that, they would go work at jobs for insurance companies and medical device companies and things like that. And now one of my main clients is like a medical device company, more or less. And so I think that it's kind of come full circle, and I've been getting into more technical work. But ultimately, I think what I have been doing is kind of combining purpose with the things that I do, the technical stuff that I do. So that kind of has been my dream all along, and I'm slowly working my way towards that.
Well, I'll use that as a segue. We're kind of closing out the show and our time here with you, Phil. So how does faith and purpose in general kind of influence you on the daily in terms of your work product?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I realized from a really good college experience that I'm passionate about the Lord and Him doing things in my life, but that I'm not an evangelist. And I've realized that Another thing I realized is that I want to bring out value in individuals and inherent value in them, and that technology is a tool set by which I want to use to do so. And so I think I've just found that when kind of your purpose, which is God's vision for your life, and your skill set aligns, that it can bring just really deep satisfaction, and it can really change things when you start to see things as tools towards your ultimate goals and purposes.
Where can people find you, Phil?
Goodgravy.digital, and Twitter name is Philip Gray.
That's great. Well, Phil, thanks for being here. You've been listening to Working with Purpose today with David Stark and Justin Royer, and also Phil Gray. Once again, goodgravy.digital, where you can get him. Thank you. We're going to be continuing the People Together series next week, and we've got a lot of wonderful guests being teed up. Once again, you want to get a hold of us, davidstarkcollective.com. Look at the consulting pages, or just give us a shout through email. We'd love to talk to you about any of these topics. We're glad you tuned in today. Have a great week.